Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Praise God, and that's what we're expecting tonight, for the Word of God to speak to the amazing, anointed man of God that's going to be sharing with us tonight. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Reaching Out Radio, where we're reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Fields, and I'm so excited in how God brings divine connections into our life, and He'll lead us to amazing people. And I'm so thankful, and I'm humbled before God. He's brought an amazing servant to share with us tonight, and I'm going to get ready to introduce him, and I want to have a word of prayer and give the show to God tonight, and I'm just going to let go and let God, and just let God use this servant. And if everyone would come into agreement with me, and let's go before God and lift up the show to Him tonight, and I just ask that God be glorified in this and in all we do. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we just come before Your throne of grace today, God, and we just lift the show up to You tonight to glorify You. Father God, we give it to You, for it's about You, dear God. We ask that You guard the airwaves, dear God, and Father God, that You just let it be brought before people that need to hear this, whether it be now or on demand, dear God, for You know what Your children need, Father God. I just pray that You pour Your anointing out upon Your servant that's going to bring forth the word tonight, Father God. Father, I just want You to have liberty, dear God. We don't want to focus on time. We don't want to focus on us, dear God. We want to glorify You. Just use Your servant in a mighty way, dear God, to reach Your people, dear God, because this goes forth to every corner of every nation. May Your perfect will be done I just honor you. I exalt you, and I thank you for all that you do in my life and for what you're going to do for this show tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, and in your perfect will, Father God. I want to get ready to introduce an amazing man of God. He's very talented. He's truly a humble servant. I had the privilege of speaking with him today. I was blessed to get to connect with him on social media, on Twitter. And I want to welcome Evangelist Uche to the show. And I want him just to let go and let God and to share his ministry and what God has placed on his heart. Welcome to the show tonight. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to share here with the Reaching Out Radio listeners.
Well, the pleasure is mine. It's very such a blessing to speak to you, Montel, Evangelist Montel. And thank you for having me on your show. And like you, you know, we're just, you know, we're very excited. You know, the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. And I think to me that's the most important thing, is that God is here in this conversation, be it, you know, in Illinois where you are, in Indiana where I am right now, or all around the world in Kenya and India where so many people are going to hear this. I'm just, you know, it's a blessing. And, you know, let it be, when we're done, we can say like the disciples, you know, did in our hearts burn within us as he spoke the word. So thank you for having me on this show. Thank you for your hearts for the Lord and all the great things that you're doing.
Thank you very much. And I give God the glory, and I love being a servant, and I'm blessed in getting to meet people like you, and I'm blessed in all the word that other ministers bring forth too, and I'm looking forward to what you're going to share about tonight. And I just really want you to have liberty just to take this time and whatever you feel led to share. If you want to share some about your ministry first and then the message that God put on your heart, just as I shared with you earlier today, just let go and let God. And I know he's going to use you in a mighty way. I know you're obedient and you have a beautiful anointing in your life. And I consider it an honor to have you on tonight. So I truly am humbled before God that he brings such amazing people on the show.
Yeah, thank God definitely for opening up the doors. You know, like I mentioned, a lot of technology had to come together to make this happen. You know, there's the phone that we're using. There's the, you know, online internet technology going on that people can listen. There's social media coming on full time. So, you know, we're thankful for all these new tools that are coming out and using them to give glory to God. And prior to being here, I was able to get on Facebook and I, you know, looked you up and your husband, and it's amazing what both of you are doing. I mean, just the amazing heart that you are doing. And I pray that God continues to use you in a mighty way for the world and for all your precious listeners and all those that you would get to influence. It's a blessing to speak to Christians, or speak to believers, or even those who are exploring faith, or even if it's unbelievers, because when you speak through conviction, it becomes a lot more natural, especially when you love God. And people who have faith, their faith is strengthened. And even those that do not believe, you know, sometimes they get very ashamed and they want to believe. They want to find out about this God you're serving. And, you know, the key is for us to be unashamed and to just, you know, speak our hearts. For me, in terms of ministry, it started out pretty young. There was a call on my life as a little boy. You know, I think the earliest I can remember was my mom, you know, she planted a lot of churches back in Africa. And she, you know, I used to go from church to church, you know, they planted and then it matures and then they move somewhere else. And so I kept moving around. And I remember there was a prophecy at one time saying, you know, you want to do a ministry, you want to do something big for me, but you would not be able to, you wouldn't do it, but one of your sons will do it. And my mom had four boys. She has four boys. There was no way that was going to be me, you know, because I felt everybody was better than I was. And I thought it was my elder brother who was going to do it. yeah. But over time, I did begin to learn that my life was different. And I couldn't just be like every other person. I had to be different. And, you know, it showed up through my life. And I mean, if you're listening to this, I hope you're taking cues as to, because one of the highlights of things that I'll speak to briefly about is how to find out your calling in life. Like, how, and that's an important question I get questions on every day. People always ask me, how do I find out what God has called me to do? Or how do I know if God has called me to ministry? Or even if he has called me to ministry, what kind of ministry? Is it evangelistic or prophetic, pastoral, apologetic? You know, there's just a, should I be a disciple? There's a lot of ministry opportunities out there. And so I just say these stories because I hope you can see yourself in it. And so my life was different in the sense I just noticed that. I just couldn't do what other people were doing when I didn't have the interest in that. And when I forced myself using peer pressure, I always got caught. I'll give you just one example, one of many examples. You know, we were in school. I was in a boarding school. And, you know, we went out of the school without permission. You have to take permission before you leave. So a friend of mine, we left without permission. An older student got us, and so he threatened us and said we had to pay ransom. We had to pay him some money, and then he wouldn't, you know, do anything to us. He wouldn't report us to the authorities, and he wouldn't beat us himself, which back in the day, they usually beat you. It was an all-boys school. And so we didn't have the money. And my friend came up with a suggestion. Hey, why don't we grab some books and go sell it? So I agreed. We grabbed the books, and we didn't know where to sell it. So instead of selling it, we went to play video games. We were about, I would say, 14 years old, 15 years old. So after playing the video games, we got back. For some reason, the whole school knew what had happened. We didn't know who told everybody, but obviously it looks like people knew that these boys went to sell books. Of course, we didn't sell it, but that did not help. You know, we got, you know, reported to the teachers. You know, we got a big whooping. I still don't forget that. And at the end of the semester, I was expelled from the boarding house. But my friend and my accomplice, he was left in the boarding house untouched. So I went home, told my mom what happened, and she was just laughing. It wasn't a problem for her. She reminded me, I tell you, other people are going to do it and get away with it. If you try it, you're going to be caught. And so we just want to thank God for praying moms out there. And, you know, any mom out there who prays for their children and wants the best for them, you know, we really appreciate that. There's just nothing like it. There's nothing like having a mom that prays for you, bar none. So that's just one example. To save time, I'm not going to go into so many examples, but those were cues into the fact that perhaps I am called to ministry. I am different. I noticed whenever I try to do business, for some reason the business would fail. But anything that I do with ministry, it was always a success. It always worked out. You know, it was irrespective of me. You know, which is why I'm confident that, you know, this little message that I'll give today, it will bless people, because I've seen it through, you know, for so many years. I've seen it in so many countries that I've preached in. It's the same word, because God takes over and he is the one speaking. It's not you. And there's a confidence in him that, you know, you called me to this. I didn't call myself. I'm just obeying you and obeying what you want me to do. And so if there's someone listening and is wondering, you know, how do I know if God has called me, I would say one of the things you need to do is to watch. And I'm going to talk briefly today about how to watch. I'm always watching. I feel nothing really happens by mistake. There's a purpose for everything. There's a purpose. You're listening to this right now. It's not by accident for you to understand that even before you were born, God knew that today you are going to be listening to this radio podcast, whichever way that you're listening to it. So I watch for that. So we have Evangelist Montel reaching out to me on Twitter, telling me about her show and about doing an interview. And I'm asking myself, what is God doing now? You know, do I do this? Do I not? But mostly, what is God doing? God is doing something. So that's watching. And, you know, watching what he is doing. Prior to this, I had, you know, told God I was, you know, I wasn't going to preach. I was going to preach. I knew I was going to preach, but I wasn't going to preach till about February in terms of verbally. Now I preach a lot through my writings because I needed to organize some things. But obviously he had different ideas for me. Here I am. And so my first question, you know, when in my mind, I think I'm not going to preach till February. And I did not solicit. And all of a sudden, someone like Evangelist Montel comes and says, hey, I want you to preach, the first thing I ask myself is, what is God doing now? So I go to my knees and I pray and say, Lord, what are you doing? Because man, both of us and all of us, it's easy for us to see what God has done in the past. We can see how he's healed us and he's healed our parents and he's blessed us. He's always provided. He's never failed. We can see how he has led us and guided us. We can see what he's done in the past. And we also look forward to what he's going to do in the future. We read the Bible and we read Revelations and he's going to come back soon. And, you know, all things are going to work together for our good. And there's a lot of promises in the Bible. We see what he's going to do. We see what he's done. But most often we fail to see what he's doing right now. This moment, as I'm talking to you, as we're having this conversation, he's doing something. You know, he says, I'm there with you. But we fail to see that. Something is happening right now, this very moment. And then the question is, what is it? I don't know. And that's good that I don't know, because I don't really need to know everything. I just have to know someone who knows everything. And so I go to God and I say, Lord, what are you doing? And if you read the Bible, he says it's his pleasure to reveal himself to you. And if you're curious and you're asking with sincere faith, what are you doing? He will reveal to you what he's doing. And many times you'll be surprised at what he's doing. Especially that question should be asked in very difficult times. In difficult times, that's not a time where you start questioning God and saying, Lord, why me? You know, the question should be, why not me? You know, Lord, why is this happening to me? And why is my family member suffering? And why can't we put food on the table? I think in those moments, particularly, that's a time to be quiet and to ask, Lord, what are you doing? Because in the midst of that problem, he's doing something. You know, he says, if you love me and are called to my purpose, then all things will work together for your good. Now, let me go out of theology and just come into practical situations. So there's a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are three people who were taken from their lands, away from their lands, to another country where they were slaves. These little young lads could easily complain, as we do today, and say, Lord, you know, what did we do wrong? You know, we didn't do anything wrong. We were innocent. We didn't kill anybody, and now we don't have our parents with us. We are in a new land, and we have to work as slaves, you know. But, you know, they didn't do that. And the Bible is very clear they didn't do that. Apparently, they were trained in the way of the Lord, and they understood the situation. I imagine they thought, well, God is doing something right now. And so they were happy. They kept a good attitude, and they served the king. And, you know, they stood out. You know, that's one of the things about Christianity. Once you have that Christian mindset, you cannot be the same. You stand out anywhere you go. It's just obvious. They stood out, the king favored them, gave them promotions and promotions and promotions. And that was what God was doing, was he brought them out of that land so he could give them promotion. But they could have seen it differently and thought, what a bad God this is. And they would have missed their purpose in life. But that was not the end. God had something even bigger to show to the world, to show to both of us and all of us listening. As they had done well, and they were serving the king, and they were the highest, you know, like the CEOs, architects, the best in the land. They hatched out a plan and said, you know, since these guys are doing so well, they're doing better than us, you know, we want, you know, they're in our country and they're taking our jobs. A typical immigrant story. They're taking our jobs and, you know, we want to kick them out. So let's come up with a plan. They came up with a plan and said, you know, make a statue of the king, and if anybody doesn't bow to it, that person will be thrown into the fire. The king signed off on it. You know, he had ego and he was happy about it. And it wasn't long till he figured out that that was just a plan to the three young men, because those people would not bow to the king. They only bowed to God. And so it was reported to the king that, you know, those three young men, as expected, are bowing down to their God and they don't want to bow down to you. So the king got angry. He called them. He said, hey, I don't care what people say. You just bow down to this golden image. You're done. You can go home. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We have to serve God. So the king got angry and said, okay, go ahead, throw them in the fire. And I just imagine as they walked towards that fire, with guards taking them towards that fire, there was a young woman at the left, mother, saying, hey, young children, just denounce this one time. Denounce, you know, your God this one time. And that way you are saved from the fire. And so when you go back home, you know, you can pray to your God again. And, you know, and they refused. They kept going towards it. They said something that was powerful. They said, you know what, we believe strongly that our God is going to save us from this fire. But you know what? What even if he doesn't? What if he doesn't save us? We're still not going to bow down to you. And, you know, they kept going. And perhaps some man in, towards the right says, you guys are so stupid. You know, look at all of us. We're bowing down to the idol. Why don't you do the same and save your life and your position? You know? But as those young lads were walking towards that fire, they thought, you know, God is doing something. He is doing something. We don't know what it is. He's doing something. And as they got closer, the person to the right, the guard to the right, fell down, because the Bible says that the fire was so hot that the people that threw them in actually died. It consumed them. But they kept going. You know, God is doing something. Right now, in this fire, in this tough situation, God is doing something. The guard towards the right fell down. They kept going. And something happened. They got into the fire. But they weren't burnt. It felt cooler. It felt comfortable, like air conditioning in the Texas heat. And then the king says, hey, didn't I put three people in the fire? How come I see four? And the fourth person is like the Son of God. In other words, they didn't meet God when things were good for them. They didn't meet God in the palace. They met God inside the fire. And that's where he always is, right there in the fire, in the trouble, in the tribulation. They were having a good time and chatting and saying, oh, Lord, you know, we believed in you. Thank you that you can show yourself. This is the first time we're seeing you. And as they communed, you know, the king commanded that they quench the fire and bring them out. And I can imagine being in the fire with God, having a good time, and then they quench it. And you're like, man, just leave me alone. I'm having a good time in here. Why do you have to quench the fire? You know, but eventually they came, and the king demanded that from today onward, there should be no other God served, God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were promoted again. So God was doing something through all that ordeal. He was trying to tell myself and Evangelist Fields today that no other God should be served but him. We remember that story. And that's the bravery of the boys. Those, you know, God was doing something through that fire. And that has really helped me. In fact, I think that's probably the single most story that has helped me in my Christian walk. I've said snippets of this message, you know, it's been read, you know, by over 20,000 people, and so many have responded, you know, because once I tell my stories in such an open way, they respond with their stories to see how God took them through very difficult times. And one of the stories, a few years ago, probably 8 years ago, I took a trip back to Africa, to Nigeria. I was going there to visit. And I had my passport and laptop, and I had a great job in the United States. I was finishing my master's degree, had a great life, and everything was going great, you know. So I went back to Nigeria full of cash, you know, full of optimistic, you know. I was having a good time, staying in a very big hotel. And then one day I was in a bus, and for some reason, the bag that I was holding, I left it in the bus and came down. And then I realized it, but it was too late because the bus had left. And in 1 second, everything was gone. Because inside that bag was my international passport, which means I couldn't travel back to the United States. You can't do that without a passport. My ID was in there, which means even if I say my name is Uche, nobody's going to believe me because I couldn't prove it. My wallet was in there with all the credit cards. So I went from having money to having nothing, zero, stranded in a bus station. You know, laptops, just everything gone, my identity gone. I mean, I couldn't just walk into the embassy and say, hey, I'm Uche, you know, give me a passport because I need to travel back to the United States. You know, I mean, you have to at least show who you are. You got to identify yourself. You can't just walk to an airport and say, you know, I have school and I have work, and I have to get back. You have to show your ticket, which was lost. Well, I could get a ticket online, but I had no passport, no visa, nothing. So I went, found a way to get back, you know, to my house. And I remember my mom coming out, and I told her the story. She was crying and wailing, and she brought a lot of pastors, and they were praying, and they were like, oh, the devil has struck, and the devil has done horrible things, and this is the worst day of our life. You know, you're stranded for life. And I just remember the calm that came through me because I understood the message that I just gave. So, well, what is God doing? Yes, maybe it is from the devil. Maybe the devil has attacked me. Maybe he has hit me. Maybe he doesn't want me to be an international evangelist anymore. And but maybe also God is doing something. But what is it? And it was just calming me. And I left the place where all the pastors were praying. And I found, you know, I went to visit a friend that I had before. And in there, he had passed away, but his sister was there. And I hadn't seen her in a long time. So I, you know, asked questions and trying to catch up, you know, what's going on, what's good. And she was very cool. And started giving me advice as to what to do. And says, you know, she said, this is what we should do. She didn't say, this is what you should do. This is what we should do. You know, you should travel and go say hi to your dad. You know, don't come to Nigeria and ignore him. You know, go and honor him, even though he doesn't deserve that right now, based on what was going on. But do that. That's the right thing to do. And do this and do this and do this. And so I did. And, you know, it's a long story, but miraculously God opened up the door and I got my passport back. And, you know, when I got back to the United States, my job was still there, even though I hadn't been there in a while. So I didn't lose anything. But the biggest thing was, as I left, I told the lady's dad, and I said, you know, I'm coming back to Nigeria within a few months, and I'm coming to get married to your daughter. I believe I didn't go there looking for a wife. But through that very tough situation, that was exactly what God was doing. Was he was providing me with the kind of person that I needed for ministry, somebody who was cool and calm and collected. Because in ministry, as you know, there are situations where you just come under fire from everywhere, from the enemy. And for you to really succeed, you need, hopefully you have somebody in your corner that could be your husband, your wife, your children, that could calm you down and always remind you of God's promises. And that's what I have today. And I owe a lot of my success to God blessing me with the kind of wife that I have. But I would never have gotten it if I didn't lose my passport, because I definitely wasn't going to go visit. And, you know, if everything went well, no, I wouldn't have done that. So in that very difficult situation, my understanding of the truth, what is God doing now, was helpful. It was a simple question, being calm, asking, what is God doing now? So are you listening? I'm sure a couple of situations come to your mind, you know, loss of a job, loss of a loved one, and things that are supposed to shake your faith, things that are supposed to make you question. Those are the very opportunities where God is trying to prove to you that he has a stake in your life and he's doing something marvelous. We can talk again of Job. Job is a very significant example. Job, you know, had everything. And God was, and he was righteous, even though he had money and he had children, cattle, respect, you know. And so God was boasting on him. God doesn't do that often. He says, look at my servant Job, you know. Look at him. He's there's nobody like him. So Satan says, hey, he loves you because you've given him stuff. Let me take stuff away, and he's going to curse you to your face. God says, all right, take the stuff away. Let's see. And I think that convicts me even right now. So what if I don't have the stuff that I have right now? Would I still serve God? If I get news that my children, all of them, three lovely, beautiful girls, passed away, am I still going to serve God? That's a big conviction. But that's what happened to Job. He lost his children, lost his wealth, and it all came back to back, you know. So a messenger comes in and says, hey, your children were having a dinner, and then the ground opened up and they were swallowed. And so he's lamenting and he's grief struck. And then somebody else comes in and says, oh, all of your cows ran into the water. In fact, fire came from heaven and consumed them, inferring that God was responsible for his demise. And so he's grieving that, and somebody else comes in and gives him another bad story. And before you know it, he's in ashes. And he could curse God at that moment. He could say, you know, there's really no God. What kind of a God would allow bad things to happen to me? I haven't sinned. You know, I've been righteous. I've lived. I've served. I've paid my tithes. And why is all these bad things happening to me? But I imagine he was quiet and he was feeling God is doing something. And that's inferred in the statement that he says, though he slay me, though God slays me, yet will I trust him. He's doing something. I don't know what it is. It's horrible. He's doing something. Eventually, his body was attacked. He had, you know, sores. I mean, they were popping from his body. He was just under intense pain and suffering. And still, you know, he fell through the suffering. Whatever God is doing, he is doing something. And if he's, what he's doing is punishing me, he can go ahead and punish me. I just trust him. And I know he's doing something. And, you know, even, you know, a lot, I wouldn't go into the story because I believe the vast majority of people hearing this already know this story. Eventually, he got things back. But what God was doing was, if you read the book of Job, you would hear some of the most, the wisest words ever. I mean, it's in the book of Job that you get words I just mentioned, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's in the book of Job that you find God asking man, telling man, you know, where are you when I created the heavens and the earth? You think you can question me? You know, so many of those life words are in Job. And we wouldn't get that today if he hadn't gone through his situations. There's a lot of it, but I'm going to end real quickly. And part of it is Evangelist Montel, like I said. I'm in a field life where even though I travel around the world so many times a year, I still have little kids. And I'm the basketball coach, and I take them to church. So right now they are in church right now, and I have to go pick them up very soon. And I read to them before they go to bed. So I try to be the kind of dad that I didn't get. So I think that's why I'm going to close the message, you know, shortly, and I'm not going to keep it going on. Perhaps some other time in the future we can schedule a longer time. I'll close with this. A few years ago, I was at the job. This was the job that I got when I graduated from college. This was the only job that I knew. I had done this for 7 years. I was so comfortable in it, so good at it. And the money, the paycheck came in, you know, every 2 weeks, biweekly, as you know. It paid the bills. It kept us going. I got used to it. And so it's a hospital system. And they said, oh, well, there's the health system is shutting down, and we have to lay off 1,000 people. I felt bad. I said, my goodness, some people are going to lose their jobs. But I never thought I was going to be one of those people. And eventually I got an email saying I should go to the boss's office. And I felt just a horrible feeling in my stomach. It's the same feeling that I felt back in Nigeria when I lost my passport. I hadn't felt that feeling before. And it came back. And I went into the office, and I was told that, you know, I didn't have a job anymore. And it was a very tough time because I didn't tell my wife about it for a couple of days. And it was, you know, just very difficult. So I started picking a fight, as families do. Sometimes, you know, the husband, you know, sees the wife and says, oh, your hair is not looking good. Or I don't like the shoes you're putting on. And he's just trying to pick a fight. And then they start fighting, they start quarreling. It's not the shoes. It's not the hair. It's just there's just no money. That's why when there's no money, some fights just happen. As you know, in your own family and in your life, it's a stressful time for families where there's no money. And, you know, at some point, you know, I just told her, you know what, I'm not providing anymore. Why are you still here? And she says, you know, I've been through worse. This is easy. But eventually we set a date. I said, I have something to tell you. She said, I have something to tell you. I told her I've lost my job and I failed because I said I was going to provide, and I've sort of failed on my part of the bargain, even though you've succeeded in yours. And she came back and said, well, I have something to tell you. I'm pregnant. And that moment is a place of fear because you think, oh my goodness, I don't have a job. How am I going to pay for this? How are we going to go through the medical bills? And we don't know, we're probably going to be outside on the street in 2 months. And, you know, this is not good. This is just not good. This is not what I want to hear. But it was different. That peace came in again. You know, God is doing something right now. He would not let you have this child if he isn't going to provide for the child. So what is God doing now? And for the last few days, I had been agonizing. And for the first time, I brightened up and I smiled because I felt assured that God was doing something. And again, to shorten it, I'm closing, is you know, within a few weeks, I got another position. And that position was a lot easier than what I was doing. It paid more than double what I was earning. And then it gave me the opportunity to travel. For the first time, I was now able to travel because I didn't have to be there all the time. I could be in India and still work. I could be in Kenya, and I could be in Mexico and Canada. You know, so God, what he was doing was he was finally opening up the doors. That was actually when my ministry started, when I started traveling around the world. He, through the losing of a job, was opening the door for me to finally go out and do his will, what he had ordained me since I was little. And so in my small eyes as a human, all I'm seeing is I've lost my job. It's a mess. I'm in trouble. But what God is doing is he's taking you out of a place that you are afraid to leave. He's unfettering you from that situation so that you can serve him in a way that he has called you to serve. Those wouldn't have been possible, you know, if you weren't open enough to even ask God, what are you doing through this pain, through this shame? What are you doing? Is there something you're doing? I know you love me. I know you care for me. I know you have my best interests at heart. And it's when I asked that question, he began to reveal to me that, you know, it's time. It's time for you to preach. It's time for me to use you. And as soon as I started, you know, things started taking off. You know, social media got big. My Twitter following grew. I wrote a book, which I give freely. Tens of thousands of people have read it. And, you know, the ministry really started taking off. I can't take any credit for any of that because I lost my job. I wasn't good enough to keep a job. So I know who I am. But I also know whose I am, who is God. And God is saying, it's time. It's my strength. It's my purpose. And you do it. And that's, I think, the same thing for everybody listening. Is sometimes, you know, you just have to say, God, I know you have a purpose for my life. What are you doing? Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Now, why did you make it possible for me to hear this? There's so many other things that I can hear. And, you know, in you, you know, why is Montel doing what she's doing and her husband doing what he's doing? There's a reason for all that. Why is my parents going through such a hard time, you know, in the hospital? Why is it that I cannot pay my bills? Why can't I pay my fees? And there's a reason for all that. And I think it starts with the trust in God and asking that wonderful question, which the answer is going to lead to your purpose. You know, what is God doing now? Over to you, Evangelist Montel.
Wow, praise God, praise God, Evangelist Uche. What a powerful, powerful, powerful message. It blessed me so much, and it really makes you stop and think, you know. If people really take that word to heart tonight and they really get a hold of what you're saying, and you shared one of my favorite stories about the fiery furnace, that is just, that is so powerful. And even though they were going to face the death, they weren't going to bow down. They were going to stay true serving God, and God was faithful to them. And I loved how you talked about, you know, he was right there in the fire. And that's what so many people don't realize, that we're in the midst of those storms, when we're going through our battles, he's right there with us. And, you know, many times, even in my own life, I've learned, you know, if we never went through anything, you know, what would be our purpose to cry out to God? You know, God's all powerful. He's able to do all things. If our life was perfect all the time, we would take God and his power and things for granted. And in the midst of the trials, God has revealed to me, I'm there with you. You can do this. You're an overcomer. You know, it's amazing what God could bring us through. And it's just the way that you shared that word was so powerful. It really puts a different perspective on the way that you think about things. You know, be encouraged and get a hold of this word tonight, because you might be in the midst of a storm right now. I shared with Evangelist Uche today about my mom going through cancer. And the doctors gave my mother 2 months to live. And that was really a hard thing, you know, to be told. But my mom chose to make it a God thing. We didn't focus on what the doctor said. God brought my mom a word. The very minute that this came to her, she started praying. And God told her, my daughter, you know me. You trust me. He says, you put things before me. But he says, ones that are going to be in your path, don't know me, they don't trust me. He said, I will be glorified in this. And when my mom got her report back and she trusted in God, they said it was a praise report. Many times it's an opportunity for God to be glorified because he can show his love, his mercy, his power. And the message has blessed me so much tonight. And I know there's others out there listening that really needed to hear this word. And I love how God, through you, you have a unique, it's a beautiful ministry. And I love to, how in the beginning you shared too, you know, you thought it was going to be your other brother. Isn't that funny in life how many times, you know, we think it is, it might be a sibling, it might be our spouse, but it actually winds up being us. And it's just, you know, our plans are completely different than what God's plans are. Many times we forget that. But I'm so blessed in the message you shared tonight, and even what happened with your passport and how you met your beautiful wife, and you know, how you touched even on that. That is so important, because ministry, as they say, a new level, new devil. I'm going to tell you something. If a lot of people out there are listening, if you think that ministry is just all about gravy, it's not. You're constantly under battle. You're going to be attacked because the enemy don't want the word going forth. The enemy will do anything and everything he can to come against you. But in those moments, praise God. One of the songs I like to sing is there a Christian in the house? Praise God for people, if it be our spouse, other brothers and sisters in Christ, that he puts in our lives, you know, to say, hey, you know, God's with you. You got this. We're all flesh. And Romans, God tells us we're all going to sin and fall short of the glory of God. God knows we're not perfect. We're flesh. Even if we're believers, we're going to go through. God knows that. We have emotions. But praise God for his mercy and grace, and that he made a way for us. And he tells us in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And your words, I've been going through a lot of things. I shared with you my son's fiance in the hospital, and just my dad just got out of the hospital, and just everything you can imagine. The darts keep coming, and the enemy tries to keep me from going, but I find a way because I trust in God, and God will give me the strength. And you know, even when that furnace is soaked up to the fullest, I know, like you said, that was so beautiful, that God is right there with us and in the midst of the fire. And whenever we're there, I love feeling his presence in those moments. And your word was so anointed, and I really do thank you for sharing. And I would love you to share again sometime. I mean, you have a beautiful way that you teach.
Yes, thank you very much for those words. And, you know, the fact we're Christians does not exempt us from trouble. You know, the Lord says, in this life you will have trouble. It's not me. It's real. It's going to happen. But fear not, I've overcome the world. Oh, that's amazing. That's the confidence that we have. So, you know, thanks for that. You know, I just look forward to working with you. Probably in several initiatives, probably. You know, like the Bible says, the harvest is plenty.
And God the labor is
looking
are
for the workers. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For people who would avail themselves in. So there's no competition. There's just a lot of work out there to be done, which to do God's work. So very, very great for having me. Again, for to continue conversation. For people perhaps who want to learn more about me, I know you put something on Facebook and on the blog post, evangelistuche.com. I'm about to start a little course where, you know, I'll take a few people and kind of lead them. They get full access to me, they get full access to me. They can call me, email me, and I'm going to kind of lead them in about 30 days, 31 days on how exactly that they can, you know, find their calling. I'm going to help them with that and, you know, get them going. So if you want to find out more about that, I'm getting that ready to start sometime in February. I think that'll be very helpful for a lot of people. But we just give God the glory for the opportunity to do his work.
Well, praise God. And I know that it blessed a lot of people, and you have a unique way that God uses you. And I know you're you have a full, you know, schedule with your family and your ministry, and really do appreciate you taking time to share to the listeners, and it's going to go out all over the world, and a lot of people will be blessed by your message. And I do invite you back anytime you feel led or you have free time. You're always welcome, and I want to stay in touch with you, and you and your family and your ministry will be in my prayers and my husband's prayers. And it's just truly been a blessing tonight. I'm so excited that, you know, the store got open and I got to get to meet you. And you did an amazing job, and I really do thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Do have a good day. Talk to you soon.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So blessed tonight to get to have the evangelist on to share with us, and I'd love to hear others' testimonies and what God is doing in their life. God is just, he is so good. And as we get ready to come into closing, I just thank God for that, and I really hope you took his word to heart and, you know, maybe even go back and listen on demand and just take some quiet time to hear what God was saying through his servant. It's a really powerful message. When we're in the midst of those fires, God is right there with us. And even though we may not see it and we may not understand, he's working. Keep your faith and know that God is, he's working. And, you know, in the midst of those works, you know, you get beauty for the ashes. And I thank God for the opportunity and for the message. And I want to go out in closing tonight with a beautiful worship song. I love this song. It has a powerful message by Chris Tomlin. It's called God of the City. Again, you've been listening to Reaching Out Radio tonight. Continue to listen. Watch up front on the homepage for upcoming broadcasts. We have an amazing artist that's coming up this Friday night. We're going to have him on at 6 p.m. Rivka, he's a Christian rap artist. His music is powerful. It's upbeat. It's heartfelt. He's just an anointed, down-to-earth man of God. I'm looking forward to sharing. Again, check us out on the homepage. If you like everything that you're hearing on Reaching Out Radio, please follow us. And most of all, continue to pray for us. And I encourage everybody that listens, don't back down when God is backing you up. Deep inside you, there is a warrior. That power lives within you. The devil is a liar. Don't listen to his lies. Just keep on keeping. And even if you fall down, just get back up, because God's there. And in the moments of weakness, he will carry you. I love you all. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Field. But remember, God loves you more, and there's still work to be done in the city.
God of this city, you're the king of these people, you're the lord of this nation, you're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are, there is no one like us. God of you're the king of these people, you're the lord of this nation, you are, you're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to
again, thank you all so much for listening to Reaching Out Radio. We're reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. God bless you all, and may He just go with you the rest of the week.